and welcome to 20 Somethings Rant Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Fortunes, self-acclaimed spokesperson for 20s. Here on the podcast, we talk about everything bothering us as 20 somethings, from the good to the bad to the wins, the ups, the downs, and everything in between without discrimination, judgment, or prejudice, with a goal to build a community of 20 somethings who are empowered to be their best selves, live their best lives, blossom while staying connected and learning from one another. If this is your first time here, welcome. And to returning listeners, welcome back. So let's delve right in.
Another week, another 20 somethings rant podcast episode, but still your favorite podcaster, me. Yeah. But if it's your first time listening, don't worry, I'm about to become your very favorite person. Anyways, my name is Jessica Fortunes, and you're listening to 20 somethings rant podcast, where we talk about everything bothering us as 20 somethings, from the good to the bad, the in-betweens, without any judgment. So yeah, it's always fun on this side of the internet. And today, we're talking about moving back to Nigeria. Hi, Tolu.
Hi.
So, in the studio with me today is Tolu. Tolu has recently moved back to Nigeria, and she said something very peculiar. I rarely ever hear people say it, but she said, "I don't like abroad." I'm like, "What? You say what?" All of us on this Nigeria, we're planning to jackpot, and here is somebody who is able to live in both worlds saying that she doesn't like it there. So I'm like, you know what? We need to talk about this here on the podcast. So if you're interested in that, make sure to listen to the episode from the beginning to the very end. Maybe she might just tell us how we can also jackpot as well, because that's the main reason, you know, we all need to move abroad, right? Okay. And of course, if you haven't, make sure to subscribe, hit the like button, and become a part of this family. Okay? All right. So first and first, I'm going to give Tolu to introduce herself.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me today. I'm Tolu. I work in HR. So I work for a tech company remotely. I've also started volunteering for an NGO in Nigeria as their volunteer onboarding and growth personnel. I do dabble in one or two things as well. I do voiceovers all of a sudden. So yeah, and practically, yeah, just that really.
Okay, so let's start first with the very statement you said, which is the fact that you don't like abroad. Why is that? Who doesn't like abroad?
Okay, this might sound very, how do I put it? It might sound, yeah, it is a statement a lot of Nigerians in general, quite a lot of people would not, you know, move too easily, should I say. And everything I'm about to say is basically my preference and why I do not like living abroad. A bit of a backstory. Born and raised in the UK for about 15 years. Moved back to Nigeria when I was in SS1. So I did senior secondary school, and then I did my uni in Nigeria. I went to Covenant. And after NYC and everything, my parents were really pushing me for me to go back. And these are the same people who brought me back in the first place. And were like, yeah, you know, abroad is... I lived in England. I was in London. And they were like, oh, yeah, the place is really changing you, blah, blah, blah. And you bring me back to Nigeria and you expect me to... You know how they always put there that, oh, you know, you'd, you know, suffer a bit. They'll beat you. You have other people training you or whatever. And I loved it. I was happy being in Nigeria, and everybody was quite shocked because a lot of my cousins, everyone who live in London, were like, how are you blending in so well? Well, I don't know, but here I am. And then they started pushing me back to go and do my master's, that, oh, okay, I need to do something, you know, blah, blah, blah. And because of the pressure and everything, I obviously had to cave. I went back, I did my master's. In my mind, I was going to do my master's and come back. That was the plan. However, after I finished my master's, my mom was like, oh, you know what? Why don't you just try and apply for jobs? You never know, blah, blah, blah. Whereas how the system and structure really works there is from like their A-levels, children, well, I won't say children, but yeah, but actually children, young adults start working. So you do internships here, you volunteer here, you do quite a lot of things that will put you on the career path and on the career ladder at an early age. So by the time you're even done with uni, if you don't get onto like a grad scheme or you've gone to like a Russell Group university, so like an Ivy League university or somewhere, it might be a bit difficult for you to get onto that, especially if you didn't do your undergrad, like if you didn't do your first degree in the UK. Sometimes it's a bit difficult for you to get a job automatically after a master's. I was a bit fortunate to actually get something after I finished my master's. I started working for the NHS. I was working with employee health and wellbeing. So that's more like an occupational health within the HR field. And I had done my master's in international HR. So that was one step. However, to complete me being a professional in HR, I needed to get a certificate. So become a chartered HR. It's called CIPD, but for me to really explain it, everybody's like, what's that? But it's basically, it's for you to become a chartered personnel within the HR field. So I needed to do that. And that was outside my master's and a whole nother cost and everything. So it was quite long. Like, okay, do you know what? Let me work for a bit, get that money, and then I'll do it. So first year, so I finished 2019, got the job immediately, was working. Bearing in mind, funny enough, during my master's, I had two of my friends who were in uni with me. We were doing our master's together, actually, with three. So, and you know how it is, UK, after your master's, after like a year and 6 months, you have to go back unless something comes up or if a company decides to sponsor you. Yeah. And despite the fact that I was born and raised there, I didn't really have like friends that lived like in the UK. So it was most of my friends in my community are in Nigeria. So after that, they all had to go back to Nigeria. So it was just me. And then I moved with my sister. We moved to Manchester. I got my own place. She got her own place. And then a lot of things happened in between that. And then COVID came. So I was working and everything. And I was in a relationship with someone. And then COVID hit. And it was like my life literally crashed to the ground. Like it was like they just opened the doors of hell and say, oh, you know what, just go inside. So it was literally, that was the case for me. And I realized I went from being a particular person, because before I left Nigeria, I used to model. I used to, you know, I was really active on so many things that I had passion for. And when I moved there, my mindset kind of changed. So it wasn't like I couldn't continue doing what I was doing, but most of my audience were in Nigeria. That's where I had me. That was where I would see me. And then I moved here and it's like, what am I doing? Everything is like survival mode. You're literally living in a cycle, work, home, repeat. Work, home, repeat, work, home, repeat. That was my life. And I got so frustrated with living in that cycle. And one day I spoke to my cousin who lives in London and I was like, I'm moving back to Nigeria. She was like, yeah. And I was quite shocked. I was like, what? So I'm surprised you stayed for this long. I'm like, I'm actually surprised. But she was like, yeah, I'm actually surprised. I see you. Yes. I mean, you're still Tolu, but you're not the Tolu everybody knows. You're like this shy, not sure of herself person. And that's not who I was prior before going there. And I mean, everybody wants this experience of going abroad. There are so many things a lot of people struggle with going for. At some point, I know this might be a bit much, but I was on antidepressants for a very long time because of how difficult it was mentally, physically to cope it by myself in that area. I had my family and whatnot, but they all have their lives. Everybody's working. You really rarely ever have time for, you know, other people. And then you have people who probably work on shifts, people who work 9 to 5. It never really always clicks. You always have to, you know.
Hearing you say that, I'm thinking, but Lagos is, you know, Lagosians complain of, oh, there's traffic, you're always working. And abroad is supposed to be, you're now saying that it was also the same way of going to work. So I'm like, what's the difference for you? What was the difference?
I don't live in Lagos, but coming to Lagos often, I don't know how you guys do it. I do not know how you guys do it because you guys will sit in traffic for hours and then still turn up and go to work the next day. I don't know how you do it, but nah, Lagosians are different. But where in Abuja, it's
very, it's saner then.
Yeah.
You can say it.
You can still do what you want to do and still, you know, go to work and whatnot, but all within the same time frame. Like you still have your night, you still have time to even get home, rest a bit before going out. So Abuja is a bit different. However, when I mean there, it's kind of like a continuous cycle. Okay, so when, for instance, now, everywhere has their own congestion, should I say. Lagos has its congestion. London has its congestion. When I used to work in Boots, I used to work in Gatwick. I lived in London. That's like a 2-hour commute to go and come back. So 4 hours on the road for like a 12-hour shift. So yeah. It's practically the same thing. I do not have time to go out. I'm not going anywhere. By the time I'm done, I want to go and sleep. So yeah, it's almost the same thing, but at least you have people here who will kind of like ginger you, like, let's just go. And you will go. But there, ain't nobody gingering you. No one's, if you're not tired, you're not going. Because at the end of the day, it's up to you, right? So it's similar, but also not the same. Because I understand you go through all that stress and traffic, which sometimes could be avoided if there's a way of me working from home or whatever, just trying to make things available, easier for people. Whereas there, it's like, if you're not working like opposite your house or somewhere really close, you still have to commute. Mm-hmm. You would still have to take on that journey to get to where you want to work, get to where you work. And like, some people it's easy, some people it's not. And it also depends. It varies on what you're doing.
And here you probably have like friends, like you mentioned, but there, I mean, if you, I know one thing about here also is the fact that even when you're tired, there's another person who is tired. And so both of you are complaining together. So it could be a group of friends who are tired coming back from work and everybody's lamenting, but somehow there is joy and, you know, togetherness in that because you're not alone.
But there, it's just you. Because I remember I was always calling, you can ask them. I had a call schedule for all my friends because I was, when I mean alone, it was literally just me. And I had a call schedule for all of them. I'd call this one from when I, because I would walk to work. So about a 45 minute walk. Now, you cannot ask me to walk just like 5 minutes. I'm not doing it. But I'd walk 45 minutes from my office to work. So I'd just break it down. Okay, I'll talk to this person for 30 minutes. Then before I get home, you know, I'll just arrange myself. I get home while I'm cooking, I'll talk to another person. And for me, that was not life. That wasn't anything. And again, the pressure of my family, oh, you're getting old, you need to go and marry, you need to settle down. How am I going to find him? Where is he? I don't know where he is. I can't settle down to nothing. So where am I going to settle down? And so when I told my cousin and everything, she was like, "That she, to be honest, she doesn't really know what I'm doing doing here. Mm-hmm. The type of, well, not necessarily life, but the type of person she sees me as is this, you know, in a particular light. And I should pursue that because that's where I have passion and that's where I find myself in. And also I'm very passionate about like helping people. Hence why I'm even in the HR, but I don't really deal with grievance and all that. But I do focus more on how your employees should engage and how well their mental health and their well-being within an organization. I focus a lot on their health and well-being as well as, you know, recruitment and the likes. But that's the type of person I am. I'm always willing to help. So another excuse I gave my parents for moving back was like, yeah, I want to start my own NGO. Like, I want to get into that field. You know, you dabble a bit and all. And they were just like, sure, all right, bye. which one is, there are many NGOs in Nigeria. They do not, I said, no, mine is.
Yours is different.
It's different. I'm going for a change. There's a change that needs me. God told, well, the thing I had to tell my parents, because no one's obviously kind of understands, like, why would you do that? Now, okay, in all honesty, I have relocated, but my excuse then was I'm just going for 3 months. That was July 2021. Next month will be 1 year. Next month will be 1 year. So it was literally, oh, okay, I'll go for a long break because I didn't really like the image of myself. I had added so much weight. It was a lot bigger. My features were, I was just all over the place, really. So I'm like, okay, let me just go and rest. Let me take a break. I took a sabbatical from work. I was like, I'm just going for, I want to go for, I told them 4 months, like a study leave. I want to go for 4 months. I just need a break. And obviously, because we've been working throughout COVID, they practically say yes to anything. So they were like, yeah, sure, no problem. August finished. September finished. October, I was meant to go back October. My birthday is in October. So I was like, okay, after my birthday, I'll go back. October finished. The anxiety that gripped me. Every time British Airways will send me an email, your flight is come. I'll be like, oh, Jesus, please. I can't do this. I can't. I'm about to have a panic attack here. And then coincidentally, I started going to therapy in September here. And initially, I wasn't really a religious person. I've never really been a religious person. I've always been, okay, I've been forced to go to church growing up. So yeah, that's that. And then saying, okay, I'm seeking God for myself. Was kind of like one day, sha, maybe. And then I started going to, I don't know if you've heard of CCI.
Yeah.
Celebration Church, yeah. I started going to CCI because my friend dragged me. I lived with my friend. So she started saying, no, you must come to church. And I was like, I'm not really interested. I see you guys on the internet. I was like, no. But for some reason, I started getting very, I don't know if the word is, accustomed to them and everything. And then I started going through therapy, and next thing I knew, I was getting better. I hadn't felt that way or how I feel now in the past like 3 years. I hadn't felt like peace and like, you know, comfortable, should I say. Because there, living there, you bro, if you do not work, you're not gonna pay your bills, you're not gonna eat. There's so many things that a lot of people just like, oh, you're working in pounds. Like, if your salary is like £20,000 per annum, do you know how much money that is in Naira? No, I don't. Because by the time my tax is gone, by the time I pay rent, by the time I do this, I don't have money. I was broke as I was when I started working. So there's nothing. So a lot of people don't really understand that. However, I would never discourage anyone to go. So when I speak to everyone, I was like, oh, why? Why? I'm like, see, you go. I'm not stopping you. Go. Everybody's experience is different. However, for me, it was, yes, I'm there. Yes, there's certain things that I can get easily. And yeah, there's certain things that I don't really need to worry about. I don't need light. I'm not worried about light. I'm not worried about
generator
and all that. I don't pay my bills. Who will give me electricity? I'm not going to pay the electricity. I would not have light. But I mean, obviously, there's still
a system there.
It's still a system whereby at least it's not the government that's not providing mm-hmm. electricity. It's you. Mm-hmm. So there's still that where I don't necessarily have to think about everything. And obviously, there's good infrastructure. There's good, like, things that you know that if anything ABC happens, you know it is ABC. Whereas in Nigeria, mm-hmm. it's not necessarily like that.
Yeah.
There's certain things that you cannot really compromise. But I still feel like at the end of the day, your environment really matters. If maybe I did my uni there and
I was there. You had more friends?
I had more friends. Maybe. I did make friends. But they weren't, how do I put it? They weren't people. Maybe there was one that I was like really, really close to. But to say that I had like my own communities, no. At one point, I actually joined Bumble. You know Bumble, right? So it's like Tinder.
Oh,
but
okay.
They have different sections. So they have dating, they have friendship, and then they have business. So it's the three ones. A very good app. Most of us who were looking for friends were Nigerians. We were Nigerian. Like most of the people I was like swiping. I was like, Nika, fair, this person. Like,
but what happened? Why weren't you guys? If there were so many people on the app, then that means there's a whole community of Nigerians in the UK.
Is, but there's this thing about, you know, a lot of people also go there and like they don't want to be friends with Nigerians.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're like, oh no, Nigerians have too much problem. Nigerians are this, Nigerians are that. And don't get me wrong, there are you can meet people who will probably put you in more trouble than you were in the first place. But I would be more comfortable having Nigerian friends or people who have the same mind, same culture. Mm-hmm. Whereas having people from different cultures whereby you spend most of the time explaining some of your slang to and some of your jokes like, you can't relate, don't worry. Like I had other races who were my friends, but I just kept them to like work and like, you know, when it's time to do the Oyibo lifestyle, I know who's a cool. But it wasn't, I couldn't have that my own like level of like, community. And I feel like different people eventually get there. But if you're like focused on, oh, jackpot, like, yes, it's time for me. Really? Are you ready for the emotional and the culture shock as well? Mm. There is a huge culture shock, especially if you've really never been before. It will take you a while for you to actually realize that.
Yeah, I think a friend who recently moved, and she told me, well, with chatting, and she's like, Jessica, I had a good life in Nigeria. I don't know what I'm doing here right now. I'm confused half of the time. So, you know, I mean, this is not to say anyone who's looking to travel abroad or jackpot and all of that, you can go ahead. I mean, they say absolutely, experience is the best teacher, but this is us talking about Tolu's experiences, you know. So,
oh my.
No harm done here. But now you're back in Nigeria and, you know, you talk about the fact that you were living a life that you felt you were not doing a lot of things that you wanted to do. So back in Nigeria, are you able to do that? I feel like this is my opinion again, guys. You know, like, I feel like people go abroad and come back and then they blow in Nigeria. You know, like when Tiwa Savage came back to Nigeria and now she's a superstar, like you had to come back. So now that you've come back and are you doing what you want? Do you feel like now is your time to, you know, read the sky because you're in Nigeria?
Well, I would say I'm probably working on it. So for the majority of my relocation, I started when I said I was going back. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really you know, push myself or align myself in that direction. The one thing I know that I've clicked is the fact that I actually wanted to do work in an NGO. Mm-hmm. So that one has been my most focus. I do voiceovers now and stuff.
Yeah, you mentioned.
So that one fell on my lap. So I was like, ha-ha, yeah, cool. So I was like, okay, do you know what? This is what, I don't mind doing it. Like, it's something like I really would love to do. So, okay, let me pursue that. The other things that I'm trying to pursue, I'm trying to get my confidence back because I still feel like I'm not yet as confident as I was before. I still have some insecurities that I'm trying to deal with. But at least my voice, I can always hide behind everything and be like, oh, yeah, that's fine. But every other thing that I knew that I wanted to do right now, I'm still trying to build myself to the point whereby, okay, yeah, now it's time.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to do that. I didn't necessarily have the mindset that, okay, I'm going to come and blow. I'm just going to, peace of mind was what was in my head. Like, yeah, I need to make sure that my mental health is key. A lot of my parents did not understand what I was talking about. I was doing mental health. Mm-hmm. Do you not understand I've been on antidepressants? Do you know what it means to be on antidepressants?
I mean, I was going to come to that because I'm like, you're abroad, you know, everybody would expect that you're living the good life, but then you're not in, I mean, you are, but you're not. It feels like your body and your mind are like two different things.
And, you know, because I worked in employee health and wellbeing, so I dealt with a lot of people who needed like psychological therapy. Mostly psychological therapy. There were a lot of young people. A lot of people, although they were in the medical field, but it was like open to everyone. So I've dealt with a lot of young people my age, younger than me, who are also on this, who are also going through one thing, they're struggling. And you tend to find out that, okay, what is the cause? Yeah, sometimes you can't even put your finger on it.
Yeah.
You can't really say, this is what the problem is. I just know I'm not happy. I just know this is what is happening. And you start thinking about it. You start thinking of something that happened to you in 99 something. You start thinking about, you have that time to be thinking of your life. You're like, okay, so what is the problem? Everything I have is basically here. But I'm not sad. I'm not fulfilled. That level of fulfillment is not there. I don't feel like I've achieved anything. I feel like I'm literally, you know how a hamster is on this wheel exercising? Yeah. I feel like I'm stuck on this wheel and I can't get off. Everything is for me to just survive. Mm. Why? Why can't I break out from this? Like, I tried. God. I started doing like stuff on Instagram, putting it out there. I watch my videos like this. I'm like, oh God, I'm so ugly. I'm like, oh God, this is so horrible. I can't, like, that is how bad it was. Like, it was just like, nah, I need to stop. But
coming back to Nigeria.
Coming back to Nigeria, I'm just like, yes. But God, I'm so silly. But yeah, like, it's something that, as much as I would like to be able to explain, I don't necessarily have the right words for it. It's a feeling. It's a feeling that doesn't really have verbal explanation, should I say. But the transition from where I was to where I am, I can feel it. Mm. I know that there has been a transition. Everyone around me knows there's been a transition. Because my friend that I live with in Abuja, her mom was like, when you first came, you were so sad. And I was like, oh, I didn't know I was sad. I didn't know that was even the vibes I was even giving off. I didn't know, like, my persona was just very dull. And now I'm like, I could wake up in the morning, I'm the one making noise in the house. They're like, oh God, Tula has come again. But then I didn't know that for the first couple of months, like, I was just really gloomy. And then everybody was like, but, you know, money, like, you were making a lot of money there. I was like, yeah, I was. Where's that money gotten me? I've been buying drugs. Bread is not cheap. You have to pay for these drugs. You have to pay for so many things. And then you're like, what's the point? The solution you're looking for, you know where you need to get yourself in order. It was difficult. It was hard. And I feel maybe I haven't fully accepted the fact that I'm back in Nigeria because unfortunately I do have that option. And that's why I say to people, have an option. Go get to the point whereby you can have an option. So if you feel like, okay, you're done here, you want to come back for a while and then go back, let that be your case. And I don't know about UK, Shab. I don't really advise. See, a country, even those that have lived there for all their life, they don't like it. And that's the truth. That country has seasonal depression. It has a lot of things. If it was Canada, America, although America. However, go to where you know that you can be settled in a shorter period of time and you don't have to do anything dodgy.
Mm.
You don't have to do anything that compromises your morals as well to actually, you know, become like, like a citizen or whatever. Because, you know, people do arrange marriage and whatever. So whatever that will make you keep your integrity and get
sanity.
Exactly. And sanity and also give you that option.
Yeah.
Go for it. Do it.
Mm.
Me on my own.
Yours was coming back here.
It was coming back here. That was mine.
Amazing
that
stuff.
That was mine.
Amazing stuff. I mean, like, hearing you talk about it, I'm like, I mean, there are different sides to different stories. You know, you make sure that you're not just hearing one side and all the good and all the systems, and actually listening to somebody who has experienced it and has, like, different things to say. So this one is one for Nigeria, zero for the abroad. Because here we are, Tolu is happier, and we're all happier. So now I probably ask of the one, your parents, I mean, I can only imagine what's going through their minds of now you're in Nigeria. How do they feel? Have they accepted it?
Well, especially with this last week, they've just been like, do you want to kill yourself? The thing is, most they live abroad as well. But my dad comes and goes. But my mom's there. My mom used to live here. Like, we all kind of just, you know, float. But my mom is on the field of, nope, no Nigeria. Nobody should be Nigeria. But my dad is like, what's really there in the abroad? If we're being honest with ourselves, what is really there? Like, he's a very traditional man. He's like, my home is my home. Oh, I don't know what I'm looking for there. So, but obviously he has to support his wife. That's how I see it. I just see he has to support his wife. But when me and him have discussions, it's like, just do what God said. God said you should be there. Be there. But, you know, don't jeopardize it. And another thing with me is, for the longest time, I mean, I'm 27, I've been following what my parents have said. I don't really think I've done anything for myself. Or, like, yes, I made this decision. And if it messes up, it messes up. If it goes well, it goes well. And it's on my own. This thing. It's been what they've wanted to say. And that doesn't mean, like, you know, you shouldn't obey your parents and whatnot. But at the end of the day, you need to follow what you feel is right for you.
Yep.
They're not the ones living that life. Nobody was there with me when I was going through all that. And even when I try to explain, because I mean, Nigerian parents will always be like, no matter where they are, they're still Nigerian parents. No matter how much I try to explain to them and all, because when they saw me, because I hadn't seen them in like a year. My mom was in London. I was living in Manchester. I hadn't seen her. When she saw me, she was like, you're so fat. I was like, hold up. we're not even doing that here. Nope. Mm-mm. She just started shouting. I was like, wait, relax. Relax. What are you doing? Ah, your cheeks, bah. Your pants, bah. And my mom is very dramatic. She's a very dramatic person. And I was just looking at, I felt so bad. I was like, am I really that fat? Oh my God. And then, you know, I obviously had to work on that. But I mean, there were reasons for it. There were reasons why it was that way. And I couldn't now start. When I did try to explain, like, okay, you know, I'm not happy. I need to, it's just like, God is your happiness. Jesus is your source of happiness. That is all you need. You don't need any man. No. God is your happiness. I said, yes, God is my happiness. But it's not just that. I need something else. Clearly, I'm longing for something else. And obviously, it's not here. But yeah, she'll be all right. Then she doesn't seem, I don't even stress myself anymore. I know how to, like, break it away, because that one's another topic for another day. But I've learned how to, like, not also be controlled by parental emotions because they do put that on you a lot. So I've had to learn how to separate myself from that. And when they start, I'm just like, Jesus is God. It's just him. So just let me follow him.
I think being an African child, everyone has to learn diplomacy, because, like, you have to live your life but also be lenient or kind of understanding with your parents so that everybody's okay. I'm doing what I want to do, but they're also fine. And at the end of the day, I think if your mom had to choose, she would want you to be happy regardless of all her emotions. So I think that would be for something. It's been amazing chatting with you. I feel like I could go on and on and on talking to you, because it's so, like, you have so much. For someone who said, you know, I don't know what to say and all of that, we have done quite a lot of talking. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
For that, you know, I hope that you enjoy staying here. I hope that we see you longer. In fact, just before you go, I mean, you've been here for a while, and, you know, you spoke about the fact that people have been asking about a husband. So how is that going? How is that going? Are there plenty of fishes now in water here in Nigeria or Lagos? Oh, no, Abuja, actually.
Abuja. I actually have a boyfriend now.
Oh, wow. So have you told your mom, like, you see, I'm back
here? I have. And she's like, both of you should come to London.
Like, no.
No. No, but I mean, that aspect, she's fine now. She's like,
thank God.
I just had one prayer. But yeah.
Okay, good stuff there. Good stuff there. It's been great talking to you. And so, guys, there you've had it, coming back to Lagos. So you see, Lagos isn't so bad all the time, you know. But anyways, I still want to go. I'll come back. I don't know. But anyways, that's it on today's episode of 20 Somethings Rant Podcast. Until next time. Bye-bye. Bye. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed listening, don't forget to drop a review and rate on iTunes, Spotify, and Jamit. Also, you can join the conversation on Twitter using the hashtag 20somethingsrant or follow on Instagram at 20somethingsrant or send an email to 20somethingsrant@gmail.com. Until next time, I remain Jessica Fortunes. Bye-bye.